Today, home price falls are just starting. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today we look at the current home price dynamics, as we're still seeing the property spruikers saying that, first, now that prices have fallen, it's a great time to buy, and second, that prices will stay high because of the lack of supply. Neither of these statements is true. And by the way, if you value the content we produce, please do consider joining our Patreon program where you can support our ability to continue to make great content. Here is the link, and it's also in the comments below. The Domain quarterly house price data to June 2018 suggests that in Sydney, the average house price is now $1,144,217, and it's dropped 1.46% in the past quarter. But the averages tell us nothing, as many suburbs are down more than 10% in the past year. For example, in Petersham, the median house price is $1,367,500, and it's fallen by 15.2% since June 2017. In Chatswood, the average house is down 11.1%. But the real damage is being done in the apartment market, with Milton Point units at $1,480,000 and down 22.9%, followed by Lewisham at $697,500, down 22.2%, and Ultimo at $730,000, down 13.1%. All of these suburbs have been subject to significant numbers of new high-rise property investors, and now many will be underwater. So there was a very timely article in The Conversation today from Rachel Ong, Professor of Economics, School of Economics and Finance at Curtin University. I'll put a link in the comments below. She said, if property prices are rising, it's commonly assumed that we must be facing a shortage of supply relative to demand. So if we're ever going to reduce housing affordability problems, we simply are going to have to build our way out of it. After all, she said, as anyone who sat in an introductory economics class would tell you, basic economics is sufficient at least to suggest that if prices are rising in the long term, then supply must be lagging behind demand. Now, it's true the housing market is largely subject to the forces of supply and demand. The deficiency of this argument lies not so much in any perceived cracks in the supply-demand framework taught in Economics 101, but in the fact that the appropriate price indicator is not property prices, but it's rent. The problem with relying on rising property prices as a price signal of a supply shortage is that the dwelling an owner-occupier buys is both a consumption and an investment good. It offers a place to live, as well as an asset in which the owner invests a substantial part of their wealth. Hence, property prices are at best a murky indicator of the balance of supply and demand for housing as a home to live in and as an asset to own. It is well established in the housing economics literature that the price signal for the adequacy of supply relative to demand for housing services is rent. Rent reflects the costs of consuming housing, or, to put another way, the cost of living in a home. So if housing supply is lagging behind demand for housing as a place to live in, we should expect to see rents rise. Property prices have clearly surged over the long term in Australia. The Residential Property Price Index, adjusted for inflation and averaged across all capital cities, climbed by nearly 30% from 2008 to 2018. Property prices in Sydney and Melbourne, where the real RPPI surged by 54% and 43% respectively, largely drove this average increase. But housing economics principles tells us this can only be attributed to a supply shortage if rents have also soared. And it turns out that real rents have remained relatively flat in most capital cities over the last decade. The weighted average has shifted upward by a mere 10% from $389 to $429. For two-bedroom units, the average real weekly rent has also shifted slightly from $393 to $446. That's a mild 13% increase over a decade. The real rent increases have been relatively minor compared to the nearly 30% surge in the real RPPI across all capital cities. There are, again, some differences between cities, but only Sydney had a notable increase in real rents. And this still lagged behind the spike in real RPPI in the city. So overall, rent increases are clearly not keeping pace with soaring property prices in all major capital cities in Australia. So claims that a housing shortage is the principal cause of a lack of affordable housing are unfounded. Supply-side solutions, while important, will need to be targeted directly at low-income groups who find it difficult to compete in private rental markets to meet housing needs. On the other hand, successive governments have offered preferential tax treatments of housing assets. These have encouraged a significant build-up of wealth in housing assets, and some of these favoured tax advantages have undoubtedly been capitalised into rising property prices. That has made it harder and harder for renters to break into the home ownership market. These are structural problems embedded within our tax policy settings. Hence, their impact on house prices will not magically disappear anytime soon unless policymakers are willing to undertake meaningful tax reform that shifts the emphasis away from treating housing as a commodity back to affordable housing as a fundamental right of all Australians. Now, I would add to that mix two easy credit, also helping to drive prices higher, as we've discussed before. Plus, we note that the average number of families per dwelling has not moved for years, suggesting again that supply is simply not the problem. Ong is correct. The policy settings are wrong. And by the way, if Labor did crimp negative gearing, as they have said they would, this will put further downward pressure on prices in the investment sector. But this leads to two important observations. First, that there is no supply-limited floor to home price falls. They will fall further in the months ahead as credit continues to be tight and more new stock comes on stream, and this despite the current migration rates. Second, as more investors in particular see their capital value sliding, they will have to decide whether to cut their losses and sell into a falling market, which will drive prices lower again, or hold out and lose more value. All this points to prices lower for longer, which really highlights how out of key those property spruikers really are. And remember the old warning, prices can fall as well as rise. And we're seeing this in spades at the moment, and I continue to think that 2019 will be the crunch year. If you like what you've heard here today, please share and like the post and add a comment or question. And if you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst of Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next time.